sincere in what you do and say about God, because that's what God is going to pay. He's not going to pay you for half-heartedly doing anything. Our lesson for last week says that he would that you be hot or cold. He said, because if you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. You know, we have to keep our thoughts in check. We have to keep the evil thoughts out and let the good thoughts come in. Remember, faith is one of the power weapons, the most powerful weapons that we have. And we have it to use to fight the devil. You know, we fight him in the spirit and in the truth. Amen and amen.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
you died to save man. The
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to our devotional scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. The last time I preached from Hebrews here was in verse 2, and the week before that was in verse 1. So I want to pick up at verses 3 and 4. Don't plan to be before you long this morning, but I hope and pray that you receive the message that God has for us. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. You may be seated. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, emulating the excellency of Christ. Emulating the excellency of Christ. It's important, my brothers and sisters, that we recognize that in this life, there are certain people and certain things we will emulate, we will imitate, we will follow, we will try to replicate or duplicate, either because it is the norm or because it is the desire to be like someone else or to have what someone else has, or whatever it is that motivates us to be this way. The writer of the book of Hebrews is encouraging us to emulate our walk, our talk, our lives after Jesus. it's important to recognize that this book is filled with, especially this 12th chapter, of encouraging words and encouraging people. For example, in verse 1, there are both eternal and earthly encouragers, encouraging the men and women, the girls and boys, the brothers and sisters of the faith to run the race with patience that is set before us. And it is because there are many obstacles and oppositions on the course of this life. There are many pitfalls, and there are many detours, and there are many delays on the course. And we must remember and recognize that this is not a fast race. It is not a sprint. It is not a, what is the other, help me, brothers. No, it is a marathon. It's not the fast one. Meter is not a meter race. It's a marathon. It's one that's going to cause you to have to go through things, to think about things as you go, to plan your race, to run your race, recognizing that you are going to have some issues on the course. And so you have both eternal in the cloud witnesses and then earthly witnesses who say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Why? Because we need encouragement. Let me ask a question. Is there anybody on this race thus far who have need of or have had need of some encouragement every now and then? Have you ever had some pitfalls? Have you ever fallen? Have you ever got winded and felt like giving up? Have you ever took a break and just decided, well, I'll make this break permanent? But someone came along and encouraged you, come on, brother, don't give up now. You've come too far to turn around, and the best is yet to come. Have you ever had anybody on this journey to encourage you? How many times when things have gone bad for you and it appeared as if nobody understood what you were going through or what you were dealing with or what it cost you, and yet somehow God sent somebody by with the right words to say to you, it's not over. This too shall pass. Tried to tell you that last week. Or they told you God has got this thing. Or they told you through it all, give thanks. And so my brothers and sisters, it is important to recognize that there were and are eternal encouragers as well as earthly encouragers. Verse 2 talks about the exalted example, because it talks about looking unto Jesus. The exalted example. Jesus said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him.
Come on, doctor.
And given him a name that every knee should bow of things in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here it tells us to look at the exalted example. Now, Jesus teaches us how when you start something, you ought to finish it. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He was before Abraham ever was thought about. And he authored faith. And so he is the greatest encourager and example of faith that has ever been put before man's eyes. That's why the word says, looking unto Jesus.
All right.
Now, why? Because he is the exalted example. After it tells you he's the author and finisher of faith, it gives you three examples of that reality. The first one is his vision. His vision. I'm still in verse 2 because it says, and the joy was put before him. For the joy that was put before him, that was the vision of what God had sent him to planet Earth to do. He came down to cause men to repent and come to God the Father and be restored back to God. And then when he would have accomplished that, then you're going to find out that he was going to enjoy what he had ultimately expected to do, and that was to return after restoring the people of God back to God. But in the midst of the vision and in the midst of the victory, which is, and he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, that's the victory for what he had done in finishing his task. But right in the middle, because this is an example for us now, between your vision and your victory, you're going to have some vicissitudes. What is vicissitudes? It was better than saying problems. I needed a V, I didn't need a P, but I needed you to understand that it's important to recognize that no matter who you are, if Jesus had struggles, if Jesus had problems, if Jesus had issues, if Jesus had things turned around, then how about you? Don't think that this is going to be a flowery bed of ease, a cakewalk. You're going to have to go through something to get to something God has for you. So the vicissitudes of life, the problems, the troubles, the trials, the twists and the turns will come your way. Look at what that says. It says, endured the cross, despising the shame. We dealt with this 2 weeks ago. It's important for you to recognize that just as Jesus endured his cross, each and every one of us must endure our cross. No matter, the songwriter said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Here comes the resounding answer. No, there is a cross for everyone. And there is a cross for who? For who? For me. I can't think that I can get from earth to glory without a cross. I can't think that when this life is over, I'm gonna wear a crown unless I exchange it with a cross. No cross, no crown. So that means I've got to have my cross, bear my cross, endure my cross before I am able to have the victory of receiving my crown. The exalted example. Now we move on to verse 3. Because this is emulating the excellency of Christ. Because the whole reason the word is there, according to Romans 15:4. Wherefore all things were written aforetime for our what? Learning that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. So therefore, the word is placed there for us to understand it, to grasp it, and to put it into action. Verse 3 says, for consider him. Consider him. Now this is important because Jesus is our excellent example, our exalted example. If you're going to emulate anybody, it ought to be Jesus. Now, this consideration is given to two parts here. First part is to him, the person, Jesus. And the second part is to the handling of the problems that he dealt with. Listen, Jesus said, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you, John 15:18. He said this because he says, if ye were of the world, verse 19, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Know this, in this world ye shall have tribulation.
All right, Doctor.
The world is not your friend.
Come on now.
Stop trying to get with the world.
All right, come on, Doctor.
Stop trying to hang with the world. Be like the world. Dress like the world. Act like the world. Talk like the world. Live like the world. Make sure your example is the excellent, exalted one and not the folk of this world. Do you know why things don't work out for you when you're trying to be like the proverbial Joneses? A whole lot of you are going to go straight to hell following the proverbial. Now, I know we got some folk in our church, Joneses. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the proverbial Joneses. I'm talking about the one that everybody want to be like, want to have like, want to get like, want to do like. I'm talking about even if they aren't Christians, they want to be like the Joneses. And you put yourself in debt, you put yourself in trouble, you put yourself in harm's way trying to be like the Joneses when you ought to be like Jesus.
All right, Doctor.
Listen now, Jesus the person. Everything about Jesus is holy, is righteous, is good. He is the one. He is the measuring rod by which we measure our growth, our development, our good, not the world.
Come on, Doctor.
You know, you can see other saints and you see how they've grown and how the Lord has blessed them, but they're not your measuring rod. Because here's what you got to know, that God has given them an assignment that he has prepared them for. And it may not be the same assignment that he's given to you. So why prepare you for their assignment when your assignment is different?
All right.
He's preparing you for what you have to do. Stop trying to be like somebody else. You remember that campaign many years ago? I want to be like Mike.
Yes, sir.
And every one of them Mikes let them down in one way or the other. But not Jesus. Amen. Not Jesus. So the person, listen, is excellent. But he shows us how to deal with the problems. Listen to what it says. For consider him. Pay close attention. Think hard before making a decision about him. He is the best example to follow. In spite of what you may think presently, because you really don't know him that well, to know that there is not a friend like Jesus. There is not one who loves or cares for you like Jesus. There's no one who's gonna know you better, and in spite of knowing you, still love you like Jesus. There's no one who's going to show you the way, and then when you turn off, you fall off, you drop off the way, instead of leaving you, he'll come back and pick you up and carry you and nurture you until you can get you together and get back on the journey like Jesus. So pay attention to him. For consider him that, here's his word again, endured. The last time we saw the word endured was in the second verse. And he endured what? The cross. All right. Now, a part of the cross, who endured the cross, endured the cross. But again, consider him that endured the contradiction. Contradiction. The word contradiction means the opposing person, team, or effort. It means the hostility. Some writers write hostility instead of contradiction. And all of those words are synonymous in one way or another, because it's always somebody who was opposing him. And let me tell you, you're not going to have folk opposing you when you're doing what they want you to do.
All right, all right, all right.
The only reason why folk oppose you when you are doing what Jesus says is because they are going in the opposite direction, or desiring to do the opposite thing, or to do the wrong thing versus the right thing. And so you will have opposition. They will oppose you. But you've got to understand that it goes beyond just opposing. Sometimes it's hostility. Sometimes, you know, Perry Mason is one of my favorite shows. And Hamilton Berger will ask the judge, can he take privilege because this is a hostile witness? Can they treat him a little roughly because they are hostile? And so what you need to know is there were men, even in the Jewish faith, who treated our Lord and Savior Jesus hostile-like.
Yeah, yeah.
With great hostility. Why? Because Jesus was for right, but they pretended they were for right. And his righteousness exceeded their righteousness, because their righteousness was just pretense. It was performance. It was shenanigans, it was charades, it was a masquerade. His righteousness was real. It was real in the morning, real in the noonday, real in the midnight hour. Nicodemus found that out when he went to him by night and wanted to know about this issue of being born again. Jesus had to put him in check. He said, wait a minute, aren't you a religious ruler?
All right.
First of all, why are you coming to me at night when I said this in the day? Here was the reason. Because when we don't want to admit that we are wrong, or that we don't want to know and don't want others to know we don't know, then we do things clandestine, like we do things in a hidden way or sneaky way. We try to get by ourselves so that if something comes up and we're embarrassed, nobody knows it. And he had to tell him, listen, if you don't know earthly things, you don't know no heavenly things. I'd love to tell you some deeper things, but you can't handle them. Because they were faking. They were not real. And so they treated him, and you know all of the passion of Christ, with great hostility. And so the Bible says, for consider him that endured such contradiction, such hostility, such opponents as sinners against himself. Now don't miss this, because what it said, the contradiction of sinners, it's like, wait a minute, how can you contradict me when I'm right and you're wrong? How can you contradict me when I am the truth? I am the way.
All right, doctor.
I am the light.
Yes, sir.
How can you contradict me when I am the word? I am that I am. How can you contradict me? When I knew the beginning at the end and through the middle and all around, how could you contradict me when I saw you before you saw me sitting underneath the tree? How can you contradict me when I know what you're thinking, because I know the reins of your mind? How can you contradict me when I know what you did last night, last week? I know when you tipped and tapped and ran and rapped, and I know when you did every damnable thing you could do, and now you won't act like you're holier than thou. That's the woman at the well. Don't I know everything you've ever done? And you're going to oppose me? You're going to contradict me? You're going to be hostile toward me? Of sinners against himself. But listen, notice what the word says. He endured it. He let them have their way. He let them have their way. Here's why. Because the truth wins out in the end.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or You may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast,